Welcome to His great name, where we hold up and honor the great name of our King, Yeshua. Our text last week was John 13:34-35, and we talked about the new commandment Yeshua gave us to love one another as He loved us. Talmudim, or disciples of a specific rabbi, would have characteristics or actions that distinguish them from other rabbinical groups. These distinguishing characteristics would tell others without words whose teachings they followed. A modern-day example of this would be the Karaites. You can tell they are Karaites by the way their tzitziot are tied. Loving one another as Messiah loved us is what Yeshua said would distinguish us as His Talmudim, His disciples. And how did He love us? He died for us while we were still His enemies. Since we are Yeshua's disciples, let us review and remind ourselves of some of the things that Yeshua taught. Let's start with Luke 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear. Now let me repeat that phrase, you who hear. Yeshua is basically saying, y'all listen up, put your listening ears on. That's what I'd tell my kids when I wanted them to pay special attention to my instructions so they would do them right. We want to carefully listen to what Messiah is going to be saying here so we can follow His instructions. That word here in Hebrew is Shema, which means to not only hear, but also to understand and do it. We want to be Messiah's disciples who hear and do. So we need to have our listening ears on. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. The first thing He lists in this passage of instructions is for us to love our enemies. Now we know that when we have what they call the law of first mention, that means it's very important. So, since this is the first command from Messiah, it's very important. Now, He not only tells us to love our enemies, He's going to tell us how to love them. You know, isn't that just so beautiful about God? He doesn't tell us to just do something. He also tells us how to do it and enables us to do it. And this is how we are to love our enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. People who hate you, curse you, mistreat you are not your friend. They are your enemies. But Messiah is telling us to return good for evil. These scriptures are in the group that I have named, I sure wish I hadn't read that one, scriptures. They renew our mind and change our actions, but they sure go against that old flesh. Oh, and one small point I'd like to make. When Messiah is saying pray for those who mistreat you, He is not meaning to pray to God to smite them dead. Even if you want to, you can't. It's not allowed. Remember over in Luke 9:54 when James and John asked Yeshua if He wanted to call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans who did not receive them? What did Messiah say? He turned around and rebuked James and John for their attitude. And He said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I tell you what, there's been many a time I've literally laid on the floor, shaking with anger, praying through clenched teeth, telling God I was only there praying for that mean old person because He said I had to do it. I told Him that. He already knew, and I had to be honest with myself. I didn't want to pray for that rascal, but because He commanded me to do it, I would make myself pray. I would say, Father, I lift up so-and-so, and I ask your grace and mercy for them. Help them, Lord. And I also forgive them, just like I want you to forgive me. And then I had to let it go. I'm going to say something here that's really vitally important. So y'all put your listening ears on. If you don't take away anything else out of our discussions today, take this one. Unforgiveness will wreck your life, not the life of the person you're mad at. Not the one you're holding a grudge against. It's probably not even bothering them. They probably ain't even thinking about it. They could care less. Unforgiveness is one of the biggest things that keeps us from receiving the blessings from God. It comes between our relationship with Him. Not only that, it opens us up to the tormentors. It's one of the biggest barriers to receiving healing, and it gives the evil one and his followers a legal right to torment us. Remember the parable in Matthew 18, starting with verse 23, where the servant owed the king a debt he couldn't pay and the king forgave him. Then that same servant went to another servant who owed him far less. He would not forgive that servant who asked for more time to pay, and he threw him in jail. When the king heard that report of how that servant had treated his fellow servant, he was hot. I mean, he was angry. He told that evil servant that he had been forgiven a great debt, but he had had no compassion on someone who had owed him far less. What was that king's judgment? He handed that unforgiving evil servant over to the jailers. Now that word jailer in Greek means a jailer whose function is to torture. And what are the evil spirits but torturers? Yeshua very plainly said that our Heavenly Father will do the same to us if we do not forgive. Until you forgive, if you're believing for healing, you won't get healed. Healing is available to us through the completed work Yeshua did on the cross, or the execution stake, as some say. Same thing. But we have to meet God's conditions to receive from Him. We have to forgive everyone, and forgiving everyone leaves out no one. And it is a condition for healing and for anything else we receive from God. The barrier must be removed to be received. I'm planning some time in the future to go over some of the common things that are barriers to healing. But unforgiveness is one of the biggest barriers to healing and a lot of other things. You know, a lot of times it's not old sister so-and-so in the assembly you have to forgive. It's the one sleeping in your bed, your husband or your wife, the one closest to you. Now, I don't mean to be sounding like I'm meddling, but I'm talking reality. And unforgiveness goes worse than that. The biggest thing, the most humongous thing of unforgiveness that many do not understand. It keeps us out of the kingdom of Elohim. Yeshua said, if we do not forgive, our Father will not forgive us. Now that's just plain talk. And He didn't just say it in one place. It's in Matthew 6:15, Matthew 8:35, John 20:23, Mark 11:26, and that's just in the Gospels. Go search it out in the letters from Paul and Peter and John. Check it out. Unforgiveness opens up a whole can of worms and leaves us vulnerable to the enemy. And make no mistake, we have a real enemy. He hates our guts. You see, when we make Yeshua our Lord and Savior, we are transferred from the kingdom of Satan. his kingdom of darkness to Yeshua's kingdom of light. Yeshua becomes our king. Yeshua receives all our praise and worship. You do know the evil one's main objective is to be worshiped. He wants to steal or destroy the worship that rightfully belongs to Elohim. This is what I call the clash of two kingdoms. Look at Isaiah 14, 12. Starting at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground that did prostrate the nations. And thou didst say in thy heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer, or as he's called, Hasatan now, wants to be God, and he wants to be worshipped. He is the enemy of our king, and all those in Yeshua's kingdom. Our king is stronger than him because Yeshua has already defeated him on the cross. He bound the strong men. Now he can go in and take the strong man's goods, which is us. It's men's souls. That's the job that's been given to us in his name, to go free the captives, set them free. Right now, these two kingdoms are at war for the life of men's souls. And if you are in unforgiveness, you're a POW. You have been taken captive, and there is no mercy in the kingdom of darkness. If you get on the evil one's grounds, he'll beat your brains out. Unforgiveness is one of his biggest weapons that he uses against us. It's one of the biggest weapons in his arsenal to bring us down and destroy us. And we've got to realize that. But if we follow the way of our mighty King, if we submit ourselves unto his instructions of forgiving our enemies, we defeat the evil one's plans in our lives and in the lives of others. Because you see, we'll be praying for that rascal that hurt us. They won't be a rascal anymore if we pray for them, because God will help them. That's how Messiah defeated Hasatan on the cross. 1 Corinthians 2:8 tells us that the wisdom of God was hidden, and that the rulers of darkness did not understand, because if they had understood, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Folks, it's not worth holding on to unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred for someone who's been dead and in the grave 20 years. And that includes your mother-in-law or your father-in-law. We need to let it go. Repent. Ask God's forgiveness for unforgiveness and get right with God. Let that love that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit grow. It's fruit in there. It'll grow. Get free from the chains that bind you. You see, spiritual things don't make sense to us a lot of times. The Word says that they don't make sense to a carnal mind. When we're over in the flesh and thinking like the flesh, they just seem backwards. Things like defeat your enemy by forgiving him and praying good for him. Things like, if you want to be greatest, be a servant. Things like, the way up is down. The way down is up. Meaning that if you want to be exalted, we humble ourselves. But if you want to be humbled, if you want to be humiliated, lift yourself up in pride. Pride is the first sin in the universe, and it was done by the devil. All these things seem backwards to the world, but this is how we live in Messiah's kingdom, because they're the real truth. That's why we study the Word. We look to see what Yeshua teaches, to renew our minds, our way of thinking, to what the Word said. Now, it's all for our benefit, and it's all in our best interest, but we got a choice to make. And I'm telling you, it's always better to humble ourselves and bend our necks and hear the word of the Lord and follow Him and do what He says, even if we don't understand. Our King is coming soon, and if we have these kind of things in our lives hidden in our heart, we're not ready to receive Him, and we're going to be not. It ain't going to be good, because he's going to take care of it. So we want to be on His side. You know, there was a battle going on, and I think it was Joshua saw the angels and hosts of the Lord, and he said, "Whose side are you on?" And the angel said, "I'm on God's side." It's not whether we're on His side or somebody else's side. We need to be on God's side. Now, there's one thing a lot of us don't realize, and that is that love and forgiveness are not feelings. How we feel about it has nothing to do with it. Forgiveness is an act of the will. Love is an act of the will. It doesn't matter how we feel. Praying forgiveness and mercy for our enemies before God is an act of our will. It has nothing to do with feelings. I mean, if it was really all about feeling better or feeling good, you know, we could just slap somebody upside the head and get it over with, right? But no, we got to wrestle that flesh and go and do what the Lord said. I mean, we've all been there at some time in our life. You know, slapping somebody upside the head is how the world behaves. It's part of the sin nature to want revenge. But that's not the example Yeshua gives us. Turn with me to Luke 23, starting with verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Him, meaning Yeshua, and the criminals, one to the right and other to the left. But Yeshua was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Get the picture. While Yeshua was being nailed to that execution stake, that cross, He was praying for those who were killing Him. Go back and read all that He suffered at their hands. He was mocked. He was scorned. He was mocked while He was hanging on the cross. He was stripped, totally naked, open shame put upon Him. He was spit upon, horribly beaten with the whip that pulled out huge chunks of His skin and muscle and exposed His bones. And while the soldiers mocked His kingship, they mashed down a brutal crown of thorns onto His head. His beard was pulled out by the handfuls with chunks of His skin. The Word says He was so brutally beaten and abused, He no longer looked like a man. He was unjustly condemned to death. And while they were crucifying Him, nailing Him to the cross, He was praying for them. And He was praying for us. For it was for our sin and our iniquity and our rebellion, for going our own way, as it says in Isaiah, that put Him there. And He laid down His life and chose to endure all that for us. He told Pilate that He could call myriads of angels to help Him, but He chose not to. He chose to go the way the Father had ordained. That's why we know love and forgiveness are an act of a will and not feelings. Love and forgiveness is an act shown to us by Yeshua Himself through His sufferings. He suffered an ignoble death on the cross, and love for us held Him there. We cannot comprehend the love he has for us. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us the depths of his love that was shown to us by his sacrifice and death on the cross. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, quicken this to us and help us to see it. And in the light of all he did for us, what he endured and never retaliated, he forgave. Then how can we ever hold anything against anyone else? You know, like I pointed out before, most sinners know they're sinners. They just don't know how to be anything else. And what do sinners do best? They sin. It's their nature. But when we can tell them they have a hope of a new nature, that they don't have to sin when they come to Yeshua, it gives them hope. And many more people respond to the love of God than they do to a bunch of condemnation. If we could get it across to them what Yeshua did for them and his sacrifice, it will draw all men unto him. I'm going to give a short definition here because I think it's needed, because I'm going to use the word Christianity. And Christianity is, I'm defining as any believer who worships the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and have the faith in the blood sacrifice of Yeshua and receive him as their Redeemer and Savior. I wanted to give that short definition because some people freak out if you use the term Christian, but if they really look it up, it just means a follower of Christ, and it actually denotes a slave ownership over us. Now that I've said that, I want to ask this question. Do you realize that there is no other religion besides Christianity that teaches people to pray for the forgiveness of their enemies? No other religion in the entire world prompts people to do that. The world seeks revenge. Isn't that what Yeshua said would distinguish us as his followers? The world recognizes it as a precept of our faith collectively. But it also has to be walked out in our lives individually. We are to bear reproaches and persecutions with patience and pray that God would pardon those who injure us and save them from their sins, that they might receive the same mercy that we have. That's the mercy of love of God manifested in others. Matthew 5, verse 43 says, "You have heard what it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And what is the result of that? "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." Brethren, we're of the family of Elohim. Let's act like that. And I'll close with this. "Therefore be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That word perfect means mature. We are to be mature in love. We have family standards of love and forgiveness. And it's a distinguishing mark of our family. If we walk as Yeshua walked in love and forgiveness, if we walk in our King's ways, we are not going to break any commandment given to curb sin. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Time flies when you're having fun. Till next week, and remember, be blessed and not stressed. Shalom.